Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, July 7th, 2016. With me today, John Martellaro. How's it going, John?
I'm here.
You are, which makes it a lot like a party today. Yeah. Also, we have a sponsor, and that sponsor is Casper, the mattress company, which is really great, and we'll talk about them soon. But before we get there, John, the betas are out, the public betas for iOS 10 and Sierra, Mac OS Sierra. What do you think?
I can't wait. I'm a little behind this year. My strategy was this. The developer beta 1 was probably under a lot of pressure. It's just a theory. You make rationalizations when you're short on time. And I thought, you know, it's probably a little on the buggier side than I would like in terms of beta 1. Last year, I think I jumped in on beta 2 as well, because after WWDC, the pressure is a little bit off, and the list of critical things that needed to be fixed can probably get squeezed into beta 2, and I would probably be a lot happier with beta 2. So then I got busy, and I was writing and doing some stuff, and I haven't had a chance to install beta 2 yet, but that's my plan. If things go the way they went last year, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I think we were talking about this before and you verified it, that the developer betas of El Capitan were coming out at pretty regular intervals last year, whereas the public beta of El Capitan kind of stagnated a little bit and didn't get updated as quickly. So I think I'm going to stay on the developer track and download beta 2 and then just go 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 and whatever, and just stay right with it.
Yep. I installed Mac OS Sierra beta 1. And I wasn't using it for anything mission critical.
And but you said it was working great.
Yeah, it was working great. And then when I got around to installing iOS 10 beta, I installed it right as beta 2 came out. So I ended up with beta 2. And so far, that's been really good. And I'm not going to put either beta onto a mission critical machine, even though they seem to be running really well for me so far. But you know, that's the nature of a beta. It may look like it's great, but something could go horribly wrong, and that's okay. It's a beta. That's you find these problems when you're beta testing.
One of the things that pleases me about Sierra is this is the second release in a row in which, in my perception, Apple has exercised restraint instead of uninhibited euphoria about many, 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 many new features. We've got two releases now in a row, El Capitan and Sierra, where one gets the feeling that the screws are being tightened down and things are being spruced up behind the scenes, and Apple hasn't gone hog wild with lots of new features. Vexes us and producing stabilities in the system and require another year to iron out. And so that's less my perception. I mean, Siri is a big change, but you know, there were releases in the past that had and I forget where it was, but it was somewhere around Lion or Mountain Lion, where it was like hundreds of new features, and you're going, I can't use all those, I never will. And then there was a release that came after that, I think it was Mavericks, where a lot of underlying stuff got folded in, OpenCL and
yes,
and some behind the scenes speeding up of technology and other things like that. So, you know, I'm pretty happy with what I'm seeing coming out of Apple in terms of the approach they're taking to the release of Sierra.
Yeah, Sierra feels much more refined at this state than some other betas that I've seen.
Oh, yeah. I looked at the release notes for beta 1, and I didn't see anything that was scary. I remember looking at the release notes for El Capitan, and there'd always be something that would alarm you and say, oh, my God, oh, my God.
But yeah,
didn't see those in beta 1.
Yeah. Now, the iOS beta, so iOS 10 beta, I'm already so happy with it, and I haven't had a chance to dive into it as deeply as I want, but I want the official release right now, because just notification center all on its own on the lock screen to me is worth the upgrade. It Apple finally gets it right, and it is such a pleasant experience. I'm testing it on an iPad mini, and every time a notification comes up, I find myself reaching for my mini as opposed to my iPhone, just because the experience is so much better in iOS 10.
Is it a visual change, or how is it?
It's a visual change, and it's a procedural change. So on your lock screen, you'll have just what you're used to seeing normally, the time and stuff. But if you swipe from left to right, it brings up your notification center, and it's a much more useful notification center than we've ever had before. And if you swipe from right to left, that opens the camera for you.
Awesome.
Yeah, and this is all without ever doing anything to actually unlock your device.
That's great, because I can't tell you how many times I've seen opportunities for photos, and by the time I get logged on and launch the camera app, the scene is gone.
Yes, and even with the fast swiping that we have today, prior to iOS 10, it was still too many steps in many cases.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, what I found is that the swipe up that you do from the lock screen, for some reason, worked only about half the time for me. And swiping on the iPad mini screen and iOS 10, it's just perfect. Every single time the camera comes right up, it's really nice. One place that I'm disappointed right now, but keep in mind, I haven't had hardly any time to play with it. It's with the Home app. And so this is Apple's own interface for controlling HomeKit devices. And it seems so horribly limited. And trying to figure out exactly how to use everything, if you want to set something up, I feel is too convoluted. Now, when something's set up, you just have all these buttons on the screen, and you tap them, and they do their thing. But trying to really configure your HomeKit setup, I don't think is very easy.
That's unusual for Apple.
Well, I'm assuming there are features missing right now. And one being, I can't figure out how to create a trigger in Apple's own Home app. And that's a big thing in HomeKit. You know, being able to set something so that if your door opens, then the lights come on, or trigger something based on location, or like what I'm doing right now. I'm using my Ecobee thermostat's temperature sensor to determine when smart switches activate to turn on my air conditioner. And I've been able to set all of that up, but I can't figure out how to do it in Apple's Home app. I can't even get at those triggers that I've created. So I have to assume there are features that just aren't enabled yet, and it's beta. So, you know, so I'm not going to bag on Apple for those features not being there today. If they're not there when iOS 10 officially launches this fall, then Apple's going to get an earful from me.
Well, you know, it could be a sign of, a cascade development approach instead of a waterfall approach. And that's good. Waterfall is where you put everything together all at once and try to get everything working at the same time, and nothing works at all because you've tried to do everything at once. And waterfall approach is where you get it basically going, and you add a feature and you get it stabilized, and then you add a piece at a time. So maybe that's what they're doing.
You called both of those waterfall.
Oh, second one. The good one is the waterfall. The bad one. The good one. The good. Well, what if, now you've got me confused.
It's okay. You've got me confused. So waterfall and cascade. Waterfall is when it's all dumped at once. Cascade when it comes out in phases. Is that right?
Yes.
We're going to go with that because it sounds good. It
sounds good. Yeah. Yeah. All of us. I wish I hadn't asked.
Yeah. Sorry. Well, when you said waterfall for both, I was like, oh, I'm now confused.
I want to go back to the camera.
Okay.
One of the things that bothers me about the current camera in iOS 9 is it's too easy to brush the face of the iPhone and change the picture mode from photo to square to movie. I'm always accidentally brushing my finger across that. Is that fixed in iOS 10?
We're about to find out. I was trying to quietly pick up my iPad and I dropped it.
It reminds me of the time I bought I think I had a brand new iPad Air, and it was sitting on my desk on a folder, and I thought it was fairly secure, but in the next room is the washing machine. And you know how the washing machine gets into a spin cycle where there's a gentle throbbing, and it was vibrating the floor, and then it was vibrating up through the desk, and then it was just a gentle oscillation, and the iPad just slowly vibrated right off the desk and fell face plant right on the floor. iPad Air.
Oh, that sucks.
And it survived scratch free, no problem, not damaged at all.
Okay, well, that's great.
Yeah.
And and as I'm playing with the photo settings, it seems like they are easy to use, but not easy to accidentally swipe.
Good. Good.
Yeah, and part of that's because, at least on the iPad, the camera controls always sit on the side, not at the bottom.
Good.
So,
good.
Anyhow, on the iPad Mini, it's better.
Have you tried, let's see, in Beta 2, can you unlock the Sierra with your Apple Watch?
I don't know, because I would have to put iOS 10 Beta on my iPhone,
which
I'm not going to do.
Right.
That's a feature I really want to try, but I can't.
In place first before you can update the watch to watch OS 3.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I can understand. It's nice to have an older device you can try things out on.
Yeah, and a not mission critical device, because if something goes wrong, if I lose the data on the device or if I lose features, it's a device where I'm testing beta software. That's okay. But if it's a machine that I need day in and day out, like my iPhone or my MacBook Pro.
Especially all the podcasting you do.
Yeah, there's no way that I can put the betas on these devices.
This is that stuffy area that IT managers call configuration control.
Yeah, well, I'm in hardcore configuration control mode right now. Yeah. So, anyhow, I'm excited that the public beta is out, because now I'll be able to start talking with more people about how they're using iOS and macOS, and I think that's going to be a lot of fun. My expectation is we're going to find some weird problems because it's beta.
We were talking in the staff meeting this morning about how easy it is to do that. You just go to Apple's website. We have a link in our article today. And you just sign on with your Apple ID, and then you'll see an update available in the App Store or in the Mac App Store.
Right. And it so installs easy. And away you go.
So easy.
It's wonderfully easy. I love it. So, yeah, there you go. All right. So the public betas are out. They are free, of course. And all you have to do is be willing to sacrifice a device to potential data loss and other problems, but you get to play with the betas and it'll be a lot of fun.
You know, I suspect that the data loss is that's good advice. Follow Jeff's advice. That is absolutely true, and something can always go wrong. But just in my perspective, because of the discipline and the low key approach to Sierra, and the fact that the beta one was in really good shape and there weren't alarming notes in the release notes, and the fact that not a whole lot of new features have been added. Sierra is probably pretty stable in this early phase, and you could probably put it on a secondary device, not mission critical, with confidence, as you have, and have a lot of fun with it without too much worry about losing the entire drive or losing data.
Right. And yeah, back up first and then go play. Yep. And I'm looking forward to hearing what our listeners think of the betas. And hey, we have a sponsor, and that sponsor is Casper, the mattress company. And I have been using a Casper mattress for a couple of years now, and it has made a marked improvement in my sleep patterns, which makes me very happy, because sleep is for some people something they take for granted. For me, it's a magical luxury, and I really appreciate whatever sleep I can get. So what they've done is they've designed these mattresses that are laminated layers of foam, different types of foam. And so it's like a latex foam and a memory foam that are put together in the right way so that you get the support you need, but you have the flexibility so that it doesn't feel like you're sleeping on a board, and it also doesn't feel like you're getting sucked into a giant face hugger, alien face hugger bed. And they're really comfortable. I don't overheat in mine, which is a problem that I've had in other foam beds that I have tried in the past. And I just can't imagine not having my Casper mattress. I also love the prices. They sell their mattresses for far less than you would pay if you went into a retail mattress store. And, well, like to the tune of a lot less. I have a queen-size bed. That's an $850 mattress from Casper. That's going to be over $1,000 easy from a mattress store. And I'm getting what I think is a much better mattress anyhow. So what you can do is test out your own mattress, because everyone deserves a good night's sleep. So head over to their website, casper.com/TDO. Then use the discount code TDO, and you're going to get $50 off your mattress. So they have mattresses ranging in price from $500 up to $950. So you're not even going to be spending $1,000 on a mattress. This is pretty awesome. Casper.com/TDO. Use the discount code TDO. Get your mattress shipped to you. You won't pay shipping charges. It's a beautiful thing, and you'll be sleeping better soon. So thank you, Casper, for being our sponsor.
Thank you, Casper.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so the other thing I want to talk about real quick before we wrap up is how we now have a much easier way to realize just how, I don't want to say stupid, but foolish people can be. There's a guy that was stopped in the Stansted Airport, which is around London, I believe. And he was stopped because it appeared that he had a gun, a handgun. It turns out that he made a poor purchase decision. He bought an iPhone case that looks like a handgun. And so the pistol grip on the gun you hold, and then where the barrel is, there's a little frame that holds your iPhone, so you can hold your iPhone by the pistol grip and talk into it, and it looks like you're holding a gun pretty much. And if it's in your pocket, it looks like you have a real gun in your pocket. So the police stopped this guy. And he was in an airport, and I'm just at a loss trying to figure out why someone would think first it's okay to go buy a gun-shaped iPhone case, and then second, to carry that into an airport where police and security are really, really touchy about firearms.
You know, it makes us reflect on the marvelous character and nature of the human mind. You know, there's something called executive function. I was reading about this.
Well, apparently someone didn't like hearing what John had to say, because he's just gone. So, all right. Well, we're about at a wrap-up point anyhow, so we'll just go ahead and wrap up. But follow my advice and don't go with gun-shaped iPhone cases. That's just a bad idea. And with that, we are wrapping up. So listeners, thank you for being here today. Casper, thank you for being our sponsor. Head over to their website, casper.com/TDO, and use the discount code TDO and get yourself $50 off an amazing mattress. And we'll see everyone again tomorrow.